Blog Talk Radio.
Well, while Seth is dialing in, this is Sean from Seth and Sean Sports Radio. We are back, both of us, believe it or not, after 2 weeks of a little hiatus for myself, going from the land down under. Wait, we got to get Seth on. And he should be here. Hello, Seth.
Nice accent. You figure after a couple weeks off that they would have their audio clips working correctly, but no. Apparently not. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Sean is back from New Zealand. I'm back from Foxwoods. It's not quite the same.
No, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. I had a great time with my grandmother. We saw a lot of, pro football, actually. I woke up at like 3, 4 in the morning and watched some of that. It was very interesting to see advertisements on ESPN, which actually has the red zone in Australia. So throughout the NFL games, they have the red zone. So there is no live football shown in Australia at all. It's just the red zone channel. But they do have advertisements. Live Monday Night Football in Sydney, Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. And you kind of just shake your head and go, so this is what they deal with. But I did find out Super Bowl Sunday, what they do in New Zealand, in Auckland, supposedly, is that they watch the game starting at around 6 in the morning. It concludes around 12 noon. And then they all go to the beach because it's summertime. That sounds like such a better way of doing it than here in the States, except they have to take a day off for it.
Well, I don't have much to respond in regards to that. But, it's good. It's good to have him back. I'm sure he would have loved another couple of weeks with his grandmother, because who doesn't want to spend an extra couple of weeks traveling with a 90-year-old? Yes, I went there, ladies and gentlemen.
You did. It's okay. It's okay. I understand.
It's been a relatively eventful couple of weeks in sports. Some of the stuff that we probably are not going to hit on. This week, it will take over time. We will. Ronda Rousey, the overall probably women athlete of the year behind Serena Williams, gets knocked out. Vladimir Klitschko, heavyweight champion for the last decade, loses. A lot of pro basketball stuff. The Sixers are still bad. The Warriors are still awesome. The Mets and Knicks, nobody really cares about, although Porzingis has been pretty good. But I do think we have to start off, and again, we're about a week behind, but we were talking about this prior to the show, is the impending retirement of Kobe Bryant. Who announced, I guess, somewhere between 7 to 10 days ago that this was going to be his final season. He's been horrendous. His team has been brutal. But the question is, people are talking about where he fits in the landscape of the all-time greats. And, I've heard anywhere from top 4 to top 7, and that just seems high to me. Somewhere to me, he's kind of in the bottom, somewhere around number 10, number 11, I can see. I don't see him. I don't know if I have him above Jerry. I don't know if I have him on the all-time Lakers team.
Well, the only way to do this, at least consensusly between the two of us, is to go through this list. So, Jordan, Chamberlain, Jabbar, Russell. Yes, 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 yes.
Yes.
Duncan?
Yes.
So, we're already past the 5, right?
Yeah.
Just there. Okay. So, let's continue going. Is he better than...
LeBron. I would take LeBron in his prime.
We're not looking at primes. We're looking at I would not take LeBron right now.
If LeBron retires tomorrow.
He's not better than Kobe. He's not. Not to me. I mean, look, you're taking Sandy Koufax or Tom Seaver at that point, right? So who is the...
But here's the difference. Sandy Koufax had the best 6 to 7 year run. LeBron's already in year 12.
True.
That's not much longer, that's about the same length of time as Larry Bird, who's always consensus in the top 10. Well, so I think you can put LeBron in that at that point.
Okay.
And Magic's the same thing. He was a rookie in 80 when they won the world championship, yeah. And 91 is when the AIDS comes out.
Okay. If we're looking that way, and I completely see your point, then Larry and Magic are better to me.
Agreed.
Than Kobe. So we're up to 8. If you're putting LeBron in there?
Yes. If you're putting LeBron in, I think we're at 9.
Well, he would be the 9th.
He would be the 9th.
So basically, you have to pick 2 more players that would be better than Kobe Bryant to take him out of the top 10.
I think I have one. I don't think I have two. I think I would probably put Oscar Robertson. But it's a difficult because I never saw Oscar play.
Sure.
I mean, and not that I saw Chamberlain or Russell play, but it's a different mentality. My guess is that I would have him above Jerry West, and I would probably have him above Shaquille and above Hakeem Olajuwon. And in my mind, those would be the next three. So he's somewhere in that 9 to 10 range for me.
I have him above Shaquille. Hakeem's an interesting mix, and I've always viewed him as the unsung hero in that time frame, maybe an underrated player even so, being with David Robinson and Patrick Ewing and on the cusp of Shaquille on the back end and on the front end with Moses Malone in that type of scenario. So I would think Hakeem, and I played basketball fantasy before basketball fantasy was one of those niche sports, and Hakeem's numbers are unbelievable. I mean, he's the only player, I believe, that's averaged 2 blocks and 2 steals in a year. Averaged, which is kind of impressive when you're getting to a center doing that. He averaged over 20 points a game for his career. He averaged over 8 rebounds a game for his career. Averaged over, I believe, 2.5 blocks a game for his career. Hakeem's stats across the board, to me, are perpetually underrated. I think Moses Malone is also perpetually underrated. So those two, even more than Shaquille. Look, Shaquille was an incredible offensive force. But defensively, and his foul shooting, left a lot to be desired. Hakeem and Moses didn't necessarily have those problems. So I'd probably put those two above Shaquille. Whether they go above Kobe is a different story. And I'd have to dissect that a little bit more, but I think you're right. He's in that 9 to 12 range. I know that's the long-winded way of getting to, yes, I agree with you.
Well, Sean, we both know you've never agreed with me straight off on anything, so that's fair enough. And now he's at a point where his team is terrible. They're, what, 3-15, 4-16, whatever they are. And it seems like a weird way to go out. It kind of reminds me of, you know, when Johnny Unitas ended up with the Rams. I think he ended up with the Rams. It was 2-12. Or maybe it was Joe Namath.
Namath was with the Rams. Unitas was with the Chargers, I believe.
That's what I meant. You know, kind of that awkward, I kind of wish he didn't come back. But you know what? These are the rights that they have the right to play this as long as they want.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Dr. J going out, where he's averaging 13 to 14 points a game. And he's still on the same team, but he's not the Dr. J that we remember. And he's not the Michael Jordan. He's Michael Jordan with the Wizards. He's not the Michael Jordan we remember. And it's kind of sad to watch that type of player do Hakeem with the same thing. Hakeem with the Raptors, right?
Right. Ewing with the Sonics.
And then the Magic.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets to the point where you look at the way David Robinson went out and you're like, yes, that's the way to go out. But not many players have that luxury. Charles Barkley, the same thing with the Rockets. I mean, Scottie Pippen with the Rockets as well. You'd like to think that these guys would all like to go out on top, but how are you going to tell Kobe Bryant to give up $25 million? I'm not. I would never. I mean, it's a lot of money.
Too bad.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully my firm will be grossing that next year. But my wife is giving me the thumbs up on that one.
No, she wants more.
Oh, she wants more?
She wants more.
Oh, boy. In that case, I should have adjusted the prenup accordingly.
Oh, boy.
Ow.
Boy.
Yeah, we're back and better than ever, ladies and gentlemen, to, I guess, quote Mike and Mike.
Two men and a little lady.
There you go. So, you know, I know you've been gone for a couple of weeks, but you've obviously seen what Golden State has done.
20-0. It's rather impressive.
It's not too shabby. Actually, they're 22-0. They are, you know, the difference between them and San Antonio, who is 17-4, that 4.5 game difference, is a bigger difference between the number one team and the number 11 team in the East, as ridiculous as that sounds.
Well, but we knew this. We knew that the West was going to be far better than the East.
Yeah, the East, mediocrity doesn't really start outside of the Nets and the Sixers. And the Sixers are an abomination. And an interesting hire today, we just saw Jerry Colangelo. You know, the originally, I think he was, I don't forget if he was the owner, just the VP, of the Suns, the executive director of USA Basketball the last 8 years, is now coming in to work in Philly.
Over Sam Hinkie, which is an interesting mix in its own right. But we'll get back to that in a second. Let's continue with the superstardom that is known as Stephon Curry.
Yeah, I mean, now we look at this. Miami, as you said, between the first team and the 13th team in the division, in the conference, Milwaukee is a 5.5 game difference. So every team is still there. In the West, you have Golden State at 22-0. You have San Antonio at 17-4. And then you have about six teams in that 12-8 to 10-11 range. And you don't see this team. You look at this team, and they were obviously a bit motivated by the Doc Rivers. This was a bit of a fluke. No one got injured, this, that, the other thing. Stephon Curry was the MVP this year and still could be the most improved player.
Yes. But truth be told, they still haven't had an injury. So, I mean...
No, not one of significance.
Right. So, I mean, Doc Rivers is still right. Whether
well,
it's a fluke...
They lost Steve Kerr. Does that count?
Whether it's a fluke or not is a different story, but they still have not suffered a significant injury for any long period of time. They lose Curry. They lose Klay Thompson. They lose Andrew Bogut. Especially Andrew Bogut at this point, because they don't have anybody else that's over 6'10".
Well, it doesn't really matter because Draymond Green just still seems to play that position, play the center anyway.
Right, but he doesn't play it, or he does play it, no question. But he doesn't play it against the bigs. When they go small, they go small. But
right.
Him matching up against Tim Duncan is not going to work for a full series or for more than one game. So I think the fact of the matter is, yes, they are doing very well. Yes, Stephen Curry is playing out of his mind. He reminds me of the guy from Double Dribble, that you would come out to half court and you'd flip the switch back and forth to see if he can do a behind-the-back shot, and it would still go in. Yes, I like that. So anyway, he jumps around like a kangaroo. But anyway, that was for Carly. He jumps around like a kangaroo. But the fact is, Stephen Curry, you're right, is probably the MVP if the league started right now. And tonight, probably.
He wins it unanimously.
Unanimously. He is probably one of the most improved players. The team is just there. Do you think that 72 wins is even feasible for this team? 72 wins is a lot of wins.
It's feasible. I still find it a little bit unlikely. Just because the West, if they were in the East, I would say they have a shot.
Well, if they were in the East, you might say they go 82-0.
Probably not. But I think ESPN did some kind of projection. ESPN has a lot of time on their hands, apparently, so they're doing all sorts of ridiculous projections. I think they projected that they would be favored in 80 of the 82 games going this season. Or I guess it was like after game 15. So like 65 out of the 67. The only two games that were not going to be favored were home game or games on the road at San Antonio. So, I mean, yeah, I don't see 72 happening. I see an injury somewhere along the line. I see them starting to rest players at a certain point. It's not going to happen. The team will win high 60s, cruise in as the one seed, and we go from there.
Well, as has been proven many times, you don't have to win 72 games to win a championship. You don't even have to be the top team in the NBA to win the national the championship. But it does help. So home court advantage certainly is a task that they are looking towards. And I think this is a great segue to the other perfect team that's going on, except it's in a different sport, and that would be to the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Seth and Sean fantasy football.
No, we're not perfect anymore.
We are no longer undefeated, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay,
yes,
then. Anyway, so the other perfect team is led by another probable MVP right now in Cam Newton.
Seemingly so.
I mean, yesterday's performance, look, defense be damned, it seemed like, in that game. But Carolina came storming back to take the lead against New Orleans and won the game, and they are perfect again. And what is it now, 12-0, 13-0?
12-0, and their schedule is not particularly difficult.
The only game that I see that could be a problem would be the Giants.
The Giants are incapable of winning a close game. So I'm not really that concerned about this. They lose another, and we'll talk, obviously, about it at some point during the show, their performance against the Jets. the Tom, you know, which was such an exciting game, I fell asleep as soon as during the second half. But yes, they're home against the Falcons, who have completely fallen apart. They're at the Giants, they're at the Falcons, and they're at home against the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers is a tough game for them.
At home, I think they're fine. On the road, I think it may have been a problem. You also have to remember that at this point, the Buccaneers are probably not going to be playing for a playoff spot, I don't think.
Right now, they're in the playoffs.
No, right now they're the team out of it.
Oh, I thought they were the last team in.
No, they're out because they have a game on Minnesota has a game on them, as do Seattle.
Okay. Well, then they're fighting for a playoff spot. So
but my feeling is that they will be out of it by that point.
Okay. I mean, they have come a long way, that team. Jameis Winston has played very well. Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. We've been very happy with Vincent Jackson the last couple of weeks in our fantasy league. And it's been a matter of them growing up. And that team has played well. I could see them in week 17, and it is week 17, with Carolina saying, we're going to rest some guys. I understand the whole concept of perfection, but do you really want to have a banged-up team going into the playoffs, or would you rather rest some guys? Do they take does Dave Gettleman and Ron Rivera take the approach that the Bill Polian and Tony Dungy did, or do they take the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady approach? And I'm not sure which one it is, and Cam Newton takes a lot more hits than any quarterback in the NFL outside of Russell Wilson.
My impression would be, based on the way this team seems to be put together, that if they're 15-0, I think they'll make the run at it. You do have a week off.
Sure.
And if it gets bad in that game 17, in week 17, and you want to bench people at halftime, that's fine. But my feeling is they're going to make a run at it. Because you also don't want to, remember Denver, this happened at Denver many years ago. I think with you, they lost to Jacksonville in the playoffs. We're talking late 90s.
That was Mark Brunell.
Exactly. Now is one of their better teams. And they were, I think, 13-0 when they lost to the Giants. I believe it may be their different year, but the ideas are the same. But their last two games, they were just flat. And, they benched people too early, and they just never really got back in sync. And, you don't want that either. And Carolina, nobody really still respects Carolina, I don't think. I don't think Carolina is the favorite in the NFC. I'm not even sure they're the second favorite. I think people still look at Arizona, excuse me. I think they still look at Seattle, especially after what Seattle did to Minnesota last night. And Carolina, in Carolina will be very difficult to beat, but this is not a runaway for them, I don't think, going down there. Even if as a one seed and undefeated in the playoffs.
No, I think the home field is definitely an advantage for them, more than anybody else outside of Seattle. I think them playing at home is a great advantage for them. In the AFC, we have obviously the Patriots, who have lost two in a row for the first time in I can't imagine how long. They lost at home for the first time in I can't remember how long. And they lost convincingly to the Eagles. Now, I know Seth didn't watch any of this game. Weren't you asleep? I thought that was the whole point.
No, that was at 4:00. I saw part of it. A lot of that.
I think the point is that at this juncture, you ask, can New England overcome their injuries? And they finally have had what I think is enough injuries. Their whole offensive line is decimated. They had Edelman and Gronk out yesterday. Amendola seems like on one leg, which seems like he always plays on one leg, to be fair. Deion Lewis is out for the rest of the year. James White was nicked up. LeGarrette Blount was playing well, and Brandon LaFell was dropping passes, as usual. Man, that guy reminds me so much of Stonehands from Necessary Roughness. He's like 6'4". He's like 210 pounds. He's got great speed. He just can't catch the ball. Don't throw the stone hands. But they did not look like the well-oiled machine that they are. They will be getting most of those players back in the next couple of weeks. But they're going to go in right now. They're going in as 3-seed. And I'm not sure that's – right now they play the Jets in the first round. And, well, the Jets are not a great team. They always play the Pats well. And you never know. I mean, look, the Jets pulled it out yesterday. Not a good example of a NFL game by any stretch of the imagination. I counted 5 good offensive plays in an entire game, and that's not per team. That's in total. It was awful.
And we've talked in general about how the Cowboys, the NFL, has gone down over the last couple of years. And, you know, this kind of plays a part. This kind of rolls right into that. The Giants, Tom Coughlin's been coaching for how many years and he's making these decisions? I don't really understand. The Giants are now 5-7, and we're winning, I think, in 5 of the 7 games we're leading with 5 minutes to go. Now, this is not, you know, this is a team that can't put away close games, and they don't belong in the playoffs. They it's time for Tom Coughlin to go. And, of course, I said this 4 years ago, and they went back and won the title. But, you know, this is a team that needs some kind of – they need something different. And, you know, I've seen people, you know, saying that Eli has to go. Well, Eli's not going. You know, even when the contract is outrageous. You know, the Giants are kind of – everyone is in mediocrity. It's really 4 or 5 very good teams. Cincy is fantastic. Denver, led by their defense, not led by their offense, is very, very good. New England is still New England. That's your 3 on one side. On in the NFC, Arizona is very good. Seattle's very good. And Carolina's undefeated. I think those are your 6 teams. Green Bay has been terrible. They got exceptionally lucky to win on Thursday night. And could very well, you know, that could have been their season ending right there. With that, if the Hail Mary, and legitimately what it was, the Hail Mary is not completed.
And they beat my Super Bowl prediction right there.
Yeah, well, my Super Bowl prediction. I made fun of your Super Bowl prediction, you know, 2 months ago. Yours now has a better record than mine does. I think I did the Cowboys.
You did.
Yeah, so neither of us have too much to brag about.
Not
right
in the
now.
NFC, anyway. I think I had Denver.
We both
AFC.
Had Denver. Want to talk a little bit of, I mean, we're only 20 minutes in, man.
We're moving through.
I guess we're trying to catch up on some stuff.
And your Maryland boys, let's talk about them for a second.
Okay.
So, playing very well, except for one game. They had a hiccup.
Well, they lost at Carolina, and that was a great college basketball game to watch.
It was. A little bit of a hiccup. At a conference, which has certainly helped.
Right.
And playing one of the top 5 teams in the land.
Yeah.
And which you told me at the beginning when we had these predictions, when I said that they were a top 5 team, you're like, I don't see any value to the Tar Heels at all.
Well, and I'm still not particularly sold on them. Marcus Paige, his first game back, played absolutely unbelievably. The team, they played beautifully. Even the Carolina guys I was talking to all kind of said that Carolina overachieved in that game, and that's fine. It was a really fun game to watch. And, you know, I do find it a little bit, it kind of rolled my eyes that Maryland drops from number 2 to number 9. While losing by 7 points to a top 5 team at a conference, Kentucky drops from 1-4, getting blown out at UCLA.
But let's understand, the NCAA rankings mean nothing.
I understand.
We're well on board here. Okay, they mean absolutely nothing. And that's why I don't pay much heed to the fact that Syracuse was up to number 14, and now they're probably out of the rankings because they lost to Georgetown. I just don't pay much heed to that.
I understand.
And as long as you're in the top 66 teams, and we're in the top 66 teams, which you probably both will be, then we'll be dancing. And we'll see what happens come March. But have there been any surprises in the NCAA? I mean, UCLA has played very well, better than I thought that they would.
Well, I have no faith. I admittedly have not had a heck of a lot of faith in Steve Alford as a coach. It's too early, really. Syracuse honestly has been better. It was better than I thought to start the season. Then they lost.
They lost to Wisconsin at home in overtime, and then they lost to Georgetown on the road. And again, I think we both had the same opinion. Syracuse is not a top 10 team this year. They are in a rebuilding year, and if they can't hit a 3, they don't win any games. And that's to say the same of a lot of teams in the NCAA, but they went 3-for-17 from 3 against Georgetown, and that's not going to win you many games.
So, it's too early to really see. How many years have we lost how Georgetown has played St. Mary's of the poor in preseason, in the preseason or in the pre-conference season? I mean, you know, Xavier is always good. Purdue was better than I thought they would be, and I really didn't think that Michigan State would be ranked number one at any point this season, led probably by, so far, the best player in college basketball this year, Valentine. We're 8-7-1. I'm pretty fine with it. Vandy's actually going to be pretty tough, although they have a couple of losses. Providence behind Chris Dunn is very good. Ben Simmons has been ridiculous in times and ridiculous in another way at times. But it's like watching LeBron play with high schoolers. He's just a level above.
Ben Simmons is 18 years old.
Yeah.
And he's going to play like an 18-year-old, which means sometimes he's playing schoolyard ball. And that's kind of what you get when you have 18-year-old freshmen in college, which is why putting them in the NBA makes very little sense. But we should digress that to another time.
Yeah,
we have this conversation every year. And Seth and I are both in the agreement that either you let them in at 18 or you let them in at 21. You do not let them in the middle. And just the way it is. But while Michigan State is definitely, we didn't think they'd be number one in college basketball, they seem to be making a play for maybe number one in college football.
Good segue.
Thank you.
It's good to see after a couple of weeks you haven't lost your touch.
Thank you.
We do have quite a bit of college football to discuss. The tournaments. The tournament.
You call it a tournament of four teams.
The four-team tournament is in, and unlike last year where I was bitching and moaning that Ohio State didn't belong there, and I still don't think they belong there. They happen to win out, but that doesn't change. You know, that doesn't always change the fact I don't think they belong there in the first place. This was a pretty easy call. You know, Clemson goes undefeated. Alabama goes 11-1 and wins the SEC. Oklahoma goes 11-1 and wins the Big 12. Michigan State goes 11-1 and wins the Big 10.
And a great game.
It's an incredible drive. I don't remember the last 22-play drive.
That wasn't one this year. It was the longest drive this year. It was 9 minutes and 22 plays. It was incredible. But the game itself was very good. Look, we harp on the fact that college basketball is not as good as it once was. I believe college football is at zenith. I think there have been tremendous games this year. I think the quality of play has been very good this year. And all of the championship games were like that. I liked watching Clemson beat UNC. And I don't want to hear about the one play that they messed up. Okay, every game has calls that were wrong. That's why they have replay. And sometimes even with replay, you don't get it right. So for all the North Carolina fans that are saying, well, if he was offsides, it would have changed the entire game. Come on. You lost the game.
Get over it. But I will say, there are some fun games. And I'm going to give the Bowl people some credit. The easy way out for the Rose Bowl.
Taking Ohio State?
Would have been to put Ohio State in there.
And they took Iowa.
And
I did not think they would. I will tell you that flat out. When Michigan State beat Iowa Saturday night, right? Sorry, all these days are kind of confusing when you get off a plane 24 hours after you get on it. So, and you leave on the same day you land, which is even more crazy. But Saturday night, when I left the bar after watching Michigan State and Iowa, I was convinced that the Rose Bowl would take Ohio State. Convinced. I said, there's no way Iowa is playing in that Rose Bowl. And like Seth said, you have to give the Rose Bowl a little bit of credit. They rewarded the team that deserved it, not the team that's going to travel the most.
And to be fair, it's not like Ohio State fell an enormous amount. You know, January 1st, I'm just looking at some of these bowl games. There's some really good games.
I have not looked at any of them. So anything you tell me right now, I am totally...
Okay, so I'll fill you in on some of the good ones.
And we will pick them in two weeks.
Yes, in 2 weeks. They're playing Ohio State. Notre Dame.
Fantastic.
That's a pretty good game.
It's a good game and a game I don't care much about. But it's a very good game.
Okay. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, actually, it's a game I do care a lot about because Ohio State should kick the crap out of Notre Dame. So I'm very happy with that.
BYU-Utah, it's the rivalry that is now dead because Utah jumps to the Big Ten.
Wait, Utah jumped to the Big Ten?
To the Pac-10, excuse me. Pac-10, give me a break. Now, to be fair, there are some ridiculous – when you see Nebraska at 5-7 in a bowl, I mean, it doesn't really instill a great deal of confidence that, you know, there may be a few too many bowls. In the Foster Farms Bowl, let's find some fun names. The Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. I want to go to that.
I was just about to say,
it's fried chicken in Nassau. It sounds good
to
me.
I'm in.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. I don't really have a response
to that. What's the who's playing in the Humanitarian Bowl in Boise? Who's playing under the blue turf?
I'm looking. Hold on.
I think it's on like December 26th.
I'm really disappointed, actually, though. There is now the Marmot Boca Raton Bowl, which I could have been because I'm going to be in Boca.
Why don't you go?
Because it's 6 days before I go.
Oh, that's a problem. You can't convince the wife to leave early?
Yeah, we're going for 8 days. I think that's long enough for any of us, including my mom, my parents. I don't see it.
There's no humanity. It's like on December 23rd. It's always the first bowl.
No. The GoDaddy Mobile Albert.
Are there
the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Oh,
they changed it.
They changed it from the Humanitarian Bowl.
It is Akron versus Utah State.
Awesome.
Can you feel the excitement?
Well, okay, to be fair, you have to have those two types of teams to go to Idaho in the middle of winter.
I think Maryland went to Idaho one time to play in a bowl.
Really?
Yeah, we got killed. We'll talk a little Maryland football after this. Let's see what we got
here. Have you hired a new coach?
We have.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that.
I'll fill you in a minute.
Oh, wait.
Yes, you have. Dino Babers, who beat the crap out of
Maryland. I love the name of Dino.
Maryland.
I love Dino. Dino, baby.
The Sun Bowl, Miami versus Washington State.
Wait, geographically, could that be the longest trip between two teams?
Well,
in Miami, which is in the southeast corner of the United States, and Washington State, which is in the top northwest corner of the United States. Geographically, that's got to be at least like 3,300 miles.
You probably should have put him somewhere in Kansas, had him play in Kansas somewhere. Okay, let's see. Indiana-Duke, that sounds like a better basketball game. That's at Yankee Stadium, which I will be December 26th. Maybe I'll decide to go if it's not 13.
Who's that? Indiana-Duke? Sure, why not?
Why not? Pittsburgh and Navy.
You know there'll be a Groupon for it, right?
That is true. $9.99. Pittsburgh at Navy at the Military Bowl. You know, and let's say something about Navy. Keenan Reynolds, the great quarterback from there, I was hoping he would get a Heisman invite. Didn't happen. They came out with the invitations today. And it's a little bit in doubt. It's Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, and Deshaun Watson. I think Henry is a favorite. I don't think he should be the first or the second choice.
Well, if people did not vote before this past weekend, McCaffrey gets it.
The problem is nobody knows who the hell McCaffrey is.
If you watched any game this weekend,
if you saw he had 460 yards in total offense.
And he's the son of Ed McCaffrey.
That is true, which makes me feel really old.
Why, because you played with him on Super Techno Bowl?
Exactly. Okay.
Or the first iteration of Madden, I believe.
Oh, no, I was never a Madden guy. Baylor versus North Carolina. Again, probably a better basketball game, but not a bad game.
Where does Oklahoma State wind up?
Because
you know I had them running the table and going to the
I know you did. They actually they're in a pretty good bowl game. Hold on. Oklahoma State is playing Mississippi in the Sugar Bowl.
In the Sugar Bowl. Okay, they got a good invite.
Baylor ruined themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Baylor lost to TCU. TCU was on their eighth quarterback, and Baylor lost in double overtime.
Well, Baylor also was on a wide receiver playing quarterback for the last couple of.
Well, that was also how they lost to Texas.
Right. Well, that's what I meant. They blew it losing to Texas. Now, does Charlie Strong keep his job?
Yes.
Because of the Baylor win?
No, he was keeping his job either way. The bigger question was actually was Strong going to leave of his own volition?
Well, where?
For Miami. Which is now not relevant because Mark Richt is signed there.
Who's an alumni?
Yeah. And
who's a better coach than Charlie Strong?
Yeah, but the question is Mark Richt a little bit burned out after coaching for 15 years?
Different conference.
Different mentality.
Who goes to Georgia?
Kirby Smart went to Georgia.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah. For those of you who know, now this is not his prime, Sean's prime sport anyway, but he would normally know this except he's been
gone for 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
I've been dealing with New Zealand, Australian rules rugby.
And a 90-year-old woman.
Yeah. But it's
in a wheelchair.
All right, I got to tell you, the most interesting thing about rugby in Australia, a little segue, is that there is league rugby, and then there's Australian rules rugby. So they have two games with the same name, rugby. One has 15 players and one has 17 players, which makes no sense to me. But it would be like playing 3-on-3 hockey and then having the same the NHL having two divisions, one in 3-on-3 and one in 5-on-5. But anyway, I digress.
Okay.
Moving on.
Leonard Fournette probably playing in his last game. I forget.
No, he can't.
He's
got another year.
Another year, doesn't he?
And he didn't make the Heisman list.
Which I found a little bit surprising, actually. LSU is only favored by 6 over Texas Tech.
Where?
Houston, Texas.
Of course, that's why. Well, actually, Houston, Texas is probably halfway between.
Yeah, Texas Tech, I think, is in the middle of nowhere. I don't think it's in Houston.
No,
near
not
Houston.
In Houston.
I forget where it is. On
Laredo?
The
sounds about right.
No, I don't think it's
I'll
Laredo.
Find that out. But anyway.
I have a computer, dude. I can look it up. Anyway, other good games coming up here. Wisconsin, Southern Cal. Not too shabby. That's something that's actually going to be my last couple minutes. Well, I guess I'll talk about it a little bit now. Did you read about Steve Sarkisian?
Yeah, he's suing him.
He acts drunk. He gets fired for being drunk. And he's suing for $30 million because they didn't keep his job available to him.
It's in Lubbock, Texas, by the way.
Lubbock, Texas, I should have known.
Right, because Bobby Knight went to Lubbock.
Right.
You know what? He's not wrong. He's not wrong because if you have – he's probably –
you consider alcoholism a disability?
Well, that's what he's claiming. I didn't even see it, and I know that's why he would claim it. Actually, it's a sickness. And if you claim alcoholism as a sickness, you can go under the Family Medical Leave Act, FMLA, and thus they have to keep your job open. Or a similar job. They can't fire you. So do I believe it's a good theory of law? Yes. Is it ridiculous? Yes. But you know what? If you had $12 million that you could go and get, wouldn't you get it too? Because I know I would. I know Carly wants 25, so I mean 12 is no big deal. You're halfway there.
God help me. Here is my question. Now, Pat Hayden is a Rhodes Scholar. Shouldn't he have figured this was – shouldn't he have realized that there was going to be an issue along these lines? This is not a stupid man.
But why do you always blame it on him? I mean,
I'm asking.
There are lots and lots of attorneys. The concept is at this point, did he do enough to materially breach his coaching agreement before he said, I'm an alcoholic? And if he did, then he doesn't get any of the money. If he says, hey, I'm an alcoholic, and then they fired him, then he gets the money.
I guess who would have figured that in the choices between him and Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin comes off being fired as a better human being than Steve Sarkisian. I find that pretty weird. And you may not know that they actually kept their interim coach, Clay Helton.
Yeah.
And they fired him as their overall head coach.
Good for them. Who probably should have been hired there in the first place. I mean, sometimes what goes around comes around, right? I mean, I think Sarkisian is seeking over $12 million in damages, not 30. Not that it really matters. But, yeah, according to ESPN, without accommodating his efforts to seek treatment for alcoholism, which is suit asserts is a disability, which is true. The question is, was he fired before the alcoholism, before he said, I'm an alcoholic? Who knows? But anyway, there has been a good coaching carousel, which leads us up to Maryland and Syracuse, both getting new coaches. Tell me what you know about the Maryland coach.
Well, Maryland was in an interesting situation because they actually had their recruiting coordinator, for all intents and purposes, was holding them hostage. A guy named Mike Loxley, who was the head coach in New Mexico, went 2-20.
New Mexico State, I believe.
New Mexico State, my fault. And he's been the look at you. My God. And you know, he's been the big recruiter there, getting them Dwayne Haskins. He's a top 5 quarterback coming in, Adam McClain, a couple other guys. And he wanted the head coaching job. Now, he was the interim coach after they fired Randy Edsall, and they won one game, but they did look better. But there's nothing about him that makes you think that he wanted the head coaching job. He was the assistant coach of a team that did nothing. So why would he become the head? So they hire DJ Durbin, who's kind of the hot, was kind of an unknown, but it seems like a pretty good pedigree, coached for Jim Harbaugh, coached for Urban Meyer, defensive coordinator at Michigan, kind of a, you know, big-time recruiter, rah-rah guy. You know, we'll see what happens. Loxley pretty much said if he wasn't getting the head coaching job, he was going to leave, and, you know, wherever these people went, wherever the high schoolers went, they were going to go. Now, the issue being, you know, I am a little confused why people, you know, why he would have wanted the head coaching job in the first place. And I don't like the idea of anybody holding my alma mater hostage, which is really what he was doing.
Aww.
So he also was going to get paid better at Maryland than anywhere else.
Okay.
So, you know.
But he wanted a job.
He wanted the job.
And he's using his influence to get that job. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. But now, so they ended up hiring one other guy who was an assistant at Alabama, who's going to take over. He's a big, he used to coach at Friendship, the big high school in D.C. Friendship Heights is a subway station.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So the hope is that they will be able to keep, you know, a lot of their big-time clients, and I'm happy. Durbin seems enthusiastic, seems like a job he wants. I don't know. It seems
so
like
what happened with Moxley? Because I don't remember.
Nobody knows. They haven't announced it yet.
Okay.
But most likely he won't be there.
And Syracuse goes, and instead of getting Scott Frost, who went to Central Florida, UCF, who was the offensive coordinator for Oregon and former Heisman Trophy winner in Nebraska, and defensive.
I don't think he won the Heisman.
No. Defensive back.
Eric Crouch won the Heisman.
Right. Defensive back for the Jets, though. Frost did special teams and defensive back for the Jets. That's a common thing with Nebraska quarterbacks. They can't stay quarterbacks in the NFL, and they go and play defensive back, which Crouch tried to do as well, and both of them washed out. He goes to Central Florida, and instead we get Yabba Dabba Doo, Dino Babers.
Is that gonna be his new name on Troy Nunez? Is the absolute.
I'm hoping so, because I just came up with that. I have not seen that at all, but I think that is fantastic.
That is pretty funny.
So, and you know what? I would rather get a head coach from Central Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Central Michigan.
Bowling Green,
that beat a number of good teams and has a good offense. The one thing that Syracuse has not had since Donovan McNabb is a good offense, an offense that lights up the board. And I think in college you need that. You cannot win with defense anymore in college football. There's too much talent in the offensive side. So I like the hire. I like the fact that they didn't go for a retread. I love the fact that they didn't go for a retread because you're playing at Syracuse. You're not playing at Ohio State. You're not getting a Jim Tressel. You're not going to pay that much to one of these guys. So why not go for a guy that's looking for that job? This is a stepping stone. No doubt. This is not Doug Marrone. This is not a guy that played at Syracuse. He has no ties to Syracuse. If he succeeds, in 4 or 5 years, he will not be at Syracuse anymore. Now, here's another thing that gets me about it. Syracuse University hired an African-American head coach. There are none in the ACC. None. Now that Virginia
fired Mike London.
He's the first African-American coach, I believe, in Syracuse history. He's the only one in the ACC. This is a good step forward in a sport that is relatively devoid of African-American coaches. Kirby Smart, another one. No? Oh, he's white?
He's white.
Caucasian, sorry.
No.
Oh, I messed that one up. I thought I had it. But are there any other African-American coaches that were hired?
I'd have to take a look. I don't know off the top.
You're
going to
see another one in Carl Donnell, who I believe will be hired by some
Carl Durrell, the ex-UCLA coach?
Agreed.
Where is he now?
He's offensive coordinator for, I can't remember, team. He may be playing
Denver?
In the NFL. Maybe in the NFL.
Carl Durrell, let's see here. He's a current wide receiver coach for the Jets.
Yeah, there you go.
Shouldn't you have known that?
I should have. I'm telling you, he's going to get some head of coaching opportunities, if not offensive coordinator opportunities.
Well, hold on a second now. Babers is 54 years old.
Yep.
So I'm not exactly sure this is a stepping stone per se job.
I hope not. I really do. I hope that if he succeeds, he stays.
You know, Durbin is 37.
Yeah.
This could be a 4 or 5 year job where he goes to a Michigan if Harbaugh goes back, if he does well.
Yep.
You're 54. I'm not sure you're jumping anywhere.
Okay. Look, I hope you're right. But 2, 3, 4 years from now, you're under 60 still, you can still go somewhere else. You could. Look, Art Briles is how old? 70?
In the 60s, I think.
Okay. But you're still 10 years younger than in the 50s.
Sean Palmer, ladies and gentlemen.
Math
extraordinary.
Okay, so while we're talking about money, we should segue over to the other sport that's committed a gazillion dollars in free agency, which is Major League Baseball. Zach Greinke, David Price, Jeff Samardzija, coming soon to a theater near you, Johnny Cueto, Mike Leach. What do all these guys have in common?
They're extremely overpaid.
Well, that's number one. What's number two? Actually, I'm not sure Greinke's overpaid.
They're all free agent pitchers.
There you go. They're all free agent pitchers. They can all throw.
Yeah. As a Yankee fan, and I'm not a Yankee fan like Sean's a Mets fan, but I'm a Yankee fan. Okay.
I'm agreeing with
I just started laughing when I saw the David Price contract. I just did. Because to me, the funniest part of the whole thing is, of course, he wants an out call.
Yeah, that's where I went off.
I was playing basketball, and I turned to a guy who I talk some sports with from time to time. I go, he's 31 years old. He's a very, very good pitcher. He's making $31 million a year. Okay, 7 years, $217 million. So who is going to pay him at age 34 more?
Who was going to pay CeCe Sabathia at age 34 more? Somebody did.
Who said not to?
Both of us.
This guy.
There has never been an out clause, from what I recall, that has not been used ever as leverage or some other reason. If Price wins 20 games the next 3 years, he will use that out clause.
Yeah.
Even if he gets only four more years, he'll get more of an average salary than he's getting now. He might get 4 years. No, he's got a 7-year contract, right?
Right. So,
so he opts out and says, okay, I don't need a 7-year contract.
I need a four-year
contract, but I want $35 million instead of 31. Look, we talk about these salaries like they're ridiculous. They are. This is monopoly money. But let's understand, baseball revenues have quintupled since CeCe Sabathia signed his deal. Quintupled.
And, is that a real word?
Yes. And baseball salaries?
Can I use it in Scrabble?
Yes.
Good.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
But the fact is, while the revenues have quintupled, the salaries have not. So baseball is making a lot more money than the players are. So while we ridicule these players for making $31 million and ridicule the owners for spending $31 million on a Zach Greinke or on a David Price, they're not losing money. The teams that are losing money are not spending $31 million on pitchers. One of them is Tampa Bay, the guy that traded David Price to begin with. So at the end of 3 years, if he wins 20 games every year, he'll opt out and he'll say, give me 35. If he loses, if he goes 6-16 for the next 3 years,
he's got another $120 million.
That's
now,
right.
The question is, and this is my rationale on the Greinke signing. I don't mind it for two or three reasons. Number one, yes, it's extraordinarily high. It's an extraordinary amount of money. But he's going to a team which cannot attract type A free agents. So it's a team that has to overpay.
Yeah.
Number two, he's the closest thing, and again, you're more of an expert in this, but as far as I can tell, to a Maddox as there is. The power is not as quite as relevant with Greinke as it is with a Price, with a Cueto. I see that.
I'm watching the TV. I'm agreeing with you actually wholeheartedly right now.
So
believe it or not, in baseball, you and I agree.
So to me, there's a very good chance his ability to hold, to continue, maybe not at this level, but as an 18 to 20 game winner over the next 3, 4, 5 years is relatively feasible. You know, and I think he's with 31.
31,
you know.
Yep, 7-year, 6-year contract.
So, I mean, you know, to me, this makes a little bit more sense.
Okay, but here's the rationale from the Red Sox point of view. We did it your way. We did it with prospects. We tried going the conservative route. And where did that get us? Last
one championship and two last places.
No, but the conservative route didn't get me a last place. Didn't get me a championship. John Lester got me a championship when I had him. after I traded him, I went the conservative route, and after I let him go and didn't sign him, I went the conservative route. I let Cespedes go. I tried to play this year with all the kids, and it got me a last-place finish. Now I'm going to go spend some of my money. I have the second-best market in baseball. I have the third-most revenues in baseball behind the Dodgers and the Yankees. Why is my payroll at $140 million when they're at over $200? I can afford to spend, and I'm going to go spend. And they went and got David Price. They got their guy. Look, you and I talk every year when our fantasy football league comes around in our auction. We have the same amount of money as everybody else. And every year we say we have to go get our guy, whoever that guy is. Thank you, Antonio Brown. 41 points last night. We went and got our guy. That's what they did. They didn't hassle over $1 million here and $1 million there. They went and got their guy. Let's see if their guy is the right guy. He went 20-3 in his career away from home against the AL East with a 2 ERA. That's pretty damn good.
That shocks me. It also confuses me because I would assume he would have had a lot more. I mean, he pitched for Tampa for 6 years.
Yep.
And only had 23 road games?
That's his decisions. Remember, he has a couple, probably six or seven no decisions.
Right,
so you're at 30. So if he pitched 6 games a year against, and remember this year he went back and forth. He was in Detroit, too, for two years. So, I mean, a year and a half. So, I mean, there is that. But, yeah, 20-3 with a 2 ERA. If Boston thinks this is the guy that gets him there, go get him. Spend your money. It's not like it's kind of like our free agency money in our auction league, right? We have $250 burning a hole in our pocket. We spent $85 on D'Angelo Williams. Is that reasonable?
Of course not.
Of course not. But under the circumstances where we needed a running back and they needed a number one starter, go spend your money. I have no problem with it. Greinke, again, like you said, no problem. I have a problem with Johnny Cueto turning down $120 million from Arizona. That doesn't make any sense to me because I can't see him getting more.
No, that was my – no, he's younger than those.
He's 29.
But he
– he's not as good.
No, and he did not look great the last couple months of the year.
No.
So is he a guy who's going to be an ace on a middling team, or is he a guy who can pitch, who can be an ace or a number two on a contender?
Well, right now it's interesting because I don't see a team that he goes to. I don't know what team he goes to. He's not going to San Francisco. They just signed
Camargo.
And they're going to look
for
five years and 90, which still makes no sense because that's
way
too much. Mike Leach is still out there.
Mike Leach is a number three starter.
Right, but what I'm saying is I don't think if he went to San Francisco, Cueto wouldn't be the number one anyway. He got Baumgartner. So he's a number two in all likelihood. What team gives him money to be a number two at more than $20 million a year? I don't see any. The only team I see, there are two teams I see, and they're both in Texas, the Rangers and the Astros.
You see the Rangers with Darvish coming back next year. You have Hamill, Darvish, who are the young pitchers. They have a couple really good. Is it Derek Holland?
Derek Holland's not young anymore, but he's a pitcher. I mean, yeah, it's a matter of where do you spend your money, right? Do you spend it? But that's what I'm saying again. Are you going to spend $20 million on a number three at that point? And the answer is probably no. Houston, Keuchel's not earning very much. Neither is McHugh. So you have a couple of years lead up if you wanted to front load a contract for him. But again, $20 million for a number three doesn't work. Does he go to Seattle and play next to Felix since they just lost Iwakamura to the Dodgers? Maybe. That's an interesting scenario. But again, $20 million, which basically you're – remember, Felix is earning 24. So you're going to slot him in at over 20 and say, you're just as good as Felix Hernandez. He is nowhere close to King Felix. King Felix is awesome. Well, from the Mets' point of view, we're looking at Ben Zobrist maybe coming here at $15 million a year. To Seth's point about Arizona, I don't think people view New York, at least the Mets, as a prime destination, and you have to overpay to get them. And I'd rather overpay to get him than overpay to get Daniel Murphy. So at that point, they don't have a lot of money wrapped up in their team right now with the low cost of starting pitching. If you got to spend $15 million to go get him, go get your guy if I'm the Mets.
Do you think the Yankees go after anyone?
I don't think there's anybody left. I think they try and make a trade with Brett Gardner or Ian Nova, one of those guys. But who the heck wants those guys? Brett Gardner is a $13 million player that bats 270. There are plenty of those. That's way overpriced. But anyway, so we got 5 minutes left.
I'm trying to think about anything that I specifically want to discuss. And we've been off for a couple weeks. You know, Sean was on vacation. I just needed a little bit of a break. Running the show, as much fun as it is a lot of it is a relatively big time commitment, and it is tiring from time to time. So, an interesting time to take a couple weeks off. Just some quick thoughts in the college football world. I would personally take McCaffrey to win the Heisman. I don't think he will. I think it'll go to Derrick Henry. My wife is thrilled that college football is over. It broke her heart for me to tell her that. Well, starting next Saturday, there's NFL games on Saturday as well. Yeah, she was not pleased. But we're actually been married almost 6 months now. So that's pretty good. We've made it so far.
We've made it so far.
There you go. And, you know, it's good to have Sean back, and it's good to be doing the show. As I said, a week or two off was nice. And it kind of refreshed us a little bit. And there's obviously we've missed a crazy amount of stuff that's gone on, but you know that's fine. And we'll just make it up. We have end of year. We have bowl picks. I got Maryland at the Garden tomorrow. I'm kind of stoked. I'm buying a CPA firm on Wednesday. I'm kind of stoked. All in all, a relatively good week. But I think the last couple of minutes should go to Sean because he just spent 2 weeks in La La Land. So I'd like to hear about it.
Great time. You know what? Everybody has their little problems when you go traveling, but...
Wait, I have one question first.
Yeah.
I have to ask.
Go ahead. You have 3 minutes. Go.
And I'm assuming everyone has read his 5,000-word soliloquies on Facebook. Sean, the most important question out of all of this, what was your favorite cider?
I really didn't have one, to tell you the truth. I'm very glad my grandmother started enjoying cider. That made drinking a whole lot easier. But I had a great time. I would certainly do it again under my own volition. Overall, I missed a lot of sports. Ronda Rousey probably lost more money than I did on this trip, which is probably good for me. And you know what? We got a hotter MMA winner than we did before Ronda Rousey, so... I just don't get it. But anyway, great trip. Had a great time. I'm glad I'm back. It's very interesting watching football at 2 o'clock on a Monday morning rather than on a Sunday afternoon. But at the same time, it was really nice watching Monday night football at 2 p.m. when you're on vacation anyway. Saturdays would be great sitting there. But it's been a good run. We have a lot to go over in the next couple of weeks, like Seth said. Our end-of-year saga, the Seth and Sean Sports Radio fantasy football team hopefully going through the playoffs undefeated because we did lose a game. We are 11-1 or 12-1 after tonight. And I will be making, in all likelihood, I will give a 75% to 80% shot. I will be making the playoffs in all four of my leagues this year, which is pretty awesome considering I have never won a Super Bowl.
It's kind of interesting that he runs a fantasy football podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. So we'll see what it's like. So we'll tune in next week. We'll have next week is our bowl picks, or is it the week after? The week after? No,
probably
we'll actually have to do it next week.
We'll do it next week.
We'll do it next week. So next week is our bowl picks. For Seth Kamens, this has been Sean Palmer, Seth and Sean Sports Radio, backsportspage.com. Thanks for everybody for listening in, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.